You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Program today, we have Liam Finn on the line. We're about to talk about his new track, The Howl, which has just come out quite recently. Morning, Liam. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course, anytime. We're about to see you at the moment.
I'm actually at Piha in the North Island at the moment, mm-hmm. which is nice. I'm here with... I've been here with Crowded House trying to start writing a new record.
Nice. You're not at Piha Beach at right now.
No. I was just about to go for a walk, and then the little alert came up that I was late for a Radio 1 interview.
Crack. Is Piha Beach nice? Because the only way I've ever experienced Piha is through that TV program about how dangerous it is.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's dangerous, but it's gorgeous. And, you know, to be honest, I've been coming out here since I was a little kid, and I think you learn to respect the ocean, and you know, don't make any stupid decisions. Don't swim with your jeans on. I don't know. I've been
doing that for my whole life. Oh my god! I never thought I'd do it here.
Great to do other places, but just don't do it here.
Okay. Well, if I ever go to Piha, I'll be sure not to wear jeans. I might wear some corduroy instead. I want to talk about Record Store Day, because it seems like you were promoting it pretty heavily when it happened quite recently, and I saw on Instagram a glimpse of your record collection. How big is that thing, and what is your most prized piece in that collection?
It's gotten pretty big over the years. I have never counted my records. I'm not such an obsessive vinyl fan that I've got it all categorized and stuff. It's just more so been an accumulation of ones you find in junk stores over the years, and then records from your, you know, adolescence that are re-released on vinyl. You're like, oh great, I get to have that on vinyl.
Yeah, totally.
Because obviously in the late 90s and early 2000s, it was actually really not much of a thing. I remember
it was a desert. Yeah,
yeah. When I first got to release a record on vinyl was in about 2007, and it was such an exciting thing because my previous band, Betch Duper, had never had that opportunity. But I have a lot of records from bands I've toured with. I have, you know, it becomes a little bit of a diary, really, because I could probably do a chronological order in which what phases I was going through when I got what things, but I realize I've not even named one record this entire but I don't know, my favorite little collection that I have is when I was in Washington DC once, I got to go to the Discord House, as people seem to do if you make that pilgrimage, and I hung out with Ian Mackay from Fugazi and Discord, what? Minor Threat,
nice.
Sort of lineage,
yeah.
And went over the road to where they have a warehouse now and managed to buy the whole Fugazi catalog for incredibly cheap as well, because they were very kind and gave me a deal, but they're also known for being fair anyway. And so I got, I think, 10 Fugazi LPs that I squeezed into my suitcase to take home. And so I'd say that's probably my most prized thing.
That's pretty special, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty special. I'm also not surprised it was affordable. You know, I'd hope a punk band wouldn't be overcharging you for vinyl.
Of course.
Goes against the whole ethos of punk music, eh?
Yeah, the ethos that they pretty much almost invented, you know.
Yeah, totally, totally. Now, this new track, The Howl, it's kind of not a new song necessarily. We'll touch on that in a second. But in the video, you're wearing what looks like kind of a furry headpiece, and I want to touch on, you know, have you had an influx of furry fans since the song and the video debuted?
I feel like I've always had a pretty high quota of furry fans. Being a bearded man myself, I seem to attract fellow bearded people, bearded men, bearded women. But no, I guess it was an obvious connection to make with a song called The Howl, but also it being a kind of almost a prequel to the other version that got released by Crowded House. And the video that we made for that version, which came out last year, mm-hmm. featured the same mask, the wolf mask, a different color. And when it came around to releasing this version, I was like, well, it'd be quite cool to show its connection and significance, and so it's actually quite an affordable mask, if I tell you, on Amazon like $40 or something. It's got a lot of character.
Yeah.
It just, you put it on and it just has it became clear pretty quickly that we could probably get a whole video out of just the characterfulness of this mask and putting myself in a few sort of different scenarios, and yeah, I think it came out really good. I've had a really great time on this record making a music video or a visual accompaniment for every song as I put it out, basically. I'm trying to sort of change the cyclic nature of being an independent artist, which quite often is a little sort of, it's rewarding when you're doing all the creating, and then when you finally release a record, it's sort of like it's over. Mm. And in a way, that should feel like the beginning of the next stage of it being put out into the world. But as we all know, it's pretty hard out there, and especially for independent artists to kind of get any notice, that so often, even if you have a little indie label or you're doing it yourself, you put it out, it sort of feels like it goes into the void, and then you're expected to sort of start the process again to make a new record.
Yeah.
So I've kind of been drawing it out and really drip feeding song by song out every 6 weeks or so, and making a little video for each thing as I go, because that's the part of the process I really enjoy. So I'm just sort of, I'm trying to sort of absorb myself in the parts I like and not worry about the success.
I always find it a bit funny when I'm talking to artists who might have recorded an album that has been just in the vault for a long time, or the songs have been in the vault for a long time, and they're trying to remember, you know, what headspace they were in when they were making the song or whatever, and there's always kind of, there's a bit of a lag, you know? And it's always a bit, it's always a bit finicky, like you say. I like your approach quite a lot. But I do want to touch on the mask as well. It kind of reminded me, I don't know if you've seen Fantastic Mr. Fox by Wes Anderson, but it kind of reminded me of the sun in that film. Have you seen that movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great film. It's so awesome. With making a video for every track, there's 8 tracks, so 8 videos. Has there been quite an exhausting process? You know, have you really been trying to scrape the bottom of your idea barrel for translating songs into videos, or has it been pretty okay?
It's been mostly okay. I did the first couple on my own, and I sort of, I live over in LA, and I was doing a show over there, and I was sort of reached out on social media to find someone to help me film a gig that I was doing. And I met this guy called James Cooper, and he's an Australian guy living over there as well. And he sort of just came around at the right time and came and filmed this gig and brought down a bunch of cameras that he had that were really cool. And we really hit it off, and slowly he's just sort of become my main collaborator over there, and he's helped me make at least half of these videos that we've been doing. We made a rotoscope animation video for a song called Con Man, and he hand-drew about, I don't know, 7,000 cells to kind of animate on top of a performance I did. And we had an early idea I had, because I was going to be touring a lot last year, was I thought I'll go rent a green screen studio for a day, and I'll try and I'll bring my drums down and I'll bring my guitars, I'll bring about 50 changes of clothes, and I shot sort of different performances of every song that I had for this record, so when I went away on tour I'd have stuff to play with and try and make videos out of. And so a lot of the videos I've kind of gotten out of those green screen performances, and he's helped me kind of take each one in a different direction, and it's been a really great sort of process, really. It's been really fulfilling. And but as you said, like it also is, it's kind of daunting when I finish one and put a lot of work into one, and then I all of a sudden it's like, well, we've got another song coming out in 4 weeks, so you've got to make another one. It's like, oh my god, okay. But it hasn't become a burden. It's actually been really good, and it's nice to have something that's not music to focus on, and it makes you appreciate when you start making music again as well.
Yeah, totally. Now, all of the songs we're talking about here are part of your new record, Hyperverse, which isn't technically out yet, but on Spotify, I did see that you've released 8 singles, and the unreleased album on Bandcamp says that there's 8 songs. So I want to know, is it technically out, or what's happening there?
There's still 2 songs yet to come out, and I guess, you know, I don't really know what out is, because I printed a first batch of vinyl last year. I did 500 copies of numbered vinyl, and I've been selling them as I've been touring, and I'm selling them on my website, but I didn't really ever announce that I had them for sale through any other means than my newsletter. And we've managed to sell 500 of Hyperverse, which is a 10-track album, and because they all sold out, that's when Record Store Day came along, and I thought, well, this is actually perfect. This could be the first time it's in stores made available to the general public who aren't necessarily tuned into what I'm doing, and we did 750 copies of it for Record Store Day, and as far as I know, they're all sold. They're probably still, some of them are in record stores and people will find them, which is kind of cool. And now I'm planning to do a final batch of another 500 of a sort of a deluxe version with a full booklet, with all the photos from the recording process and the whole thing, which was recorded online, written, recorded and mixed, and basically every step of this way I've streamed myself, like an exhibitionist, and that'll come out in June, I think June 20, and that'll be in record stores, and it'll be a kind of, I guess that's what you would call an official release, but I don't really know what difference that is, because if you're a fan and you've been on the newsletter, you've had access to the album for a whole year.
Yeah. It's kind of graduated release, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And it's just drawing out the whole process, like I was saying, that would have been over last year, and now it's like a year later and I get to go, hey, my new album's out, and, you know, it's only me really working this thing. I don't have a record company, so it just makes it a bit more manageable and feels like it has, each step of the way has a bit more care and attention to detail put into it, which is kind of nice as a music fan. Yeah,
for sure. And has that process of really drawing it out as well allowed you to be inspired by other things? And has it maybe allowed you to think about a next record, perhaps?
It's definitely made me crave wanting to make the next record, because I've been writing on this stuff for quite a while. But what has been really interesting is I've learnt. I've mostly been an independent artist. I've been on independent labels, but this is the first time I've completely self-released and done it all myself, and it's been a real eye-opener, and I've learned so much, and I've possibly learned that I don't know if I would want to do it again this way, because it's hard. But it's been really good, because I feel like I have a much better understanding of what independent artists are going through, and maybe can apply this knowledge to helping others with self-releases in the future, because apart from having capital to spend and an already kind of developed fan base that the really great independent labels have, having a label I don't think necessarily brings much to a table unless you're a pop act, or unless you're something that can be easily pigeonholed into a market.
Exactly. It's a tricky time for independent musicians, man, and then you have Spotify and all those other DSPs kind of like leeching off of your success as well. So it's a whole thing.
So I've been learning about that stuff to try and figure out how I can pass, you know, what do they call it, pay forward the knowledge, in some ways I've got greater goals of finding a way to make some sort of collective, almost like a community record label, where people can use each other's tools and use each other's knowledge, but not be giving away so much of your rights and your percentages. There's got to be a way we can do this in a more, I don't know, socialistic way.
Well, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Ipecac Records, which is founded by Mike Patton of Faith No More, Mr. Bungle, all those great acts.
Right.
But they're pretty renowned for signing on artists for maybe one or two albums and then just giving those artists like shit tons of royalties, and they love it because they're just basically paying artists heaps to make really great stuff, and the artists love it because they get heaps of royalties.
Sounds good.
That model is, I think, really refreshing and quite awesome. The one, I guess, last aspect I want to touch on the song is it's kind of about the mundanity of life and how grinding that monotony can be, and can we escape our eternal patterns? You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's a line in the song about it being Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
And sort of like going through the motions, as you were just saying, and. Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that we all notice about ourselves as we get older. You know, when you're coming of age and when you're just a newfound adult, everything's really new. And you're forming those patterns, I suppose. And just one thing I appreciate now, and being in a, you know, being married for 10 years and I've got kids and stuff, is that it's kind of the only thing left to do is to start sort of growing and learning more about yourself to be able to break out of those patterns. And that's, you know, that happens in a partnership with somebody else as well. And And also, I guess, that maybe understanding other people a bit better, you know, and applying a bit more empathy and to why people the way they are, whether it be through traumas or previous experiences and stuff like that, and kind of admiring people for what they've been through and what it's, you know, the strengths that it's given them. The ferocity it's given people, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a gorgeous thing to see people rise above their circumstances. You know, that's always a something to applaud, I think.
Yeah, break the cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for coming on the program this morning. I do want to just touch on quickly if you'll be coming to Otipoti to Dunedin sometime this year. Can you confirm? Can you deny?
I would love to. I'm going to be back in New Zealand sometime in August, and I'm trying to sort of, it's always trying to navigate and balance between doing this crowded house thing, which is nuts and quite all encompassing, and then doing my little side art project of my solo career. And so, yeah, it's always the plan, but I haven't got anything confirmed, but I really miss playing live solo. I haven't done a New Zealand tour in a really long time, so it's definitely on the cards.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you do, the crown is always here, waiting in the wings for you, my friend.
All right, sweet.
Thank you for coming on. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
Take
Cheers,
care.
Zach.
Cheers. All right, people, that was Liam Finn. We're talking about new track, The Howl, which is out now. We're going to play it for you ASAP, Rocky, and then at 10:30 we'll have Nina Brown from The Critic come through for a corridor about their new edition of The Critic. You're listening to The One. Here's Liam Finn with The Howl.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.